broadcasting live from the beautiful Cobb Galleria Center in Atlanta, Georgia, at TAG Summit 2020. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
And we are back. Stone Peyton Lee Cantor here with you. We're broadcasting live from the Cobb Galleria Center for TAG Summit 2020. We made it to the afternoon. We had a wonderful morning and a nice lunch, but I think it's just getting better and better. Lee, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with On Board, Miss Kelly Gay. Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, good afternoon. I'm great. And you're right. The summit's been very successful so far. Great to be here.
Well, Kelly, one of the hats you wear is vice chair of TAG. Tell us about the summit. Has this met your expectations? Is this how you envisioned it before you were, when you were drawing this up?
Absolutely. We did. We set out a set of pretty aggressive goals, and in terms of the kind of quality of speaker, the attendance itself, the ticket sales, the showcase companies, and then the top 10, and all of those commitments were met. TAG is such a broad umbrella organization for the technology industry here in Georgia that you have to have a little bit of something for everybody. So you never leave the summit thinking we've done everything that we possibly could. But for this year, we have met our goals and are very happy with the quality of the speakers and the program.
Now, for you, someone who has seen kind of TAG evolve over the years, how has kind of the TAG mission, has that changed dramatically over the years, or is now technology just kind of permeating every industry, so now every industry is kind of a potential TAG customer or TAG member?
What a great question and a great observation as well. Yes, technology at this point is permeating almost any company in any industry, and so many of the companies involved in the Technology Association of Georgia are the companies that you walk into every day for your groceries, for your equipment, for your, you know, someone like a Home Depot, a Coca-Cola. Those are all members of TAG. You're completely right about that. And big contributors, by the way, as well. In terms of the mission to connect the technology industry in the state of Georgia has always stayed the same. But what has happened over these 21 years that we have existed is it has advanced into also influencing governmental bills and laws that impact technology, connecting people in a more deep way, and then also helping educate people in technology fields, especially high schoolers and into college. And so I'd say it has advanced more than changed over time into a broader mission.
So now for you personally, has it helped your career being involved in TAG? Can you point to things and say, you know what, that opportunity may not have happened if I wasn't kind of immersed in the TAG ecosystem?
Absolutely. And I have always said, and I always will say, TAG can be whatever you need it to be for your career, but you do have to involve yourself. You'd have to attend. You have to participate. You have to be willing to contribute to programs, to volunteer. But if you do that, TAG can be everything you need it to be for your career. I can definitively say that my career, which, you know, I'm happy with my career. TAG has absolutely been a contributor to it. It's both through the network of people that I have met and have become my friends, and therefore opportunities open up just because people are aware of you and what you bring to the technology community that would not have been aware of you had you not been involved in TAG.
Another one of the hats you wear is with On Board. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I have a passion for On Board and its mission. On Board is an organization here in Georgia devoted to increasing the number of women in leadership positions and on corporate boards. It's a 27-year-old organization. For 27 years, we have been tracking the progress of public companies here in the state of Georgia, adding women and diversity candidates to their board over time. It's been just wonderful to see the state of Georgia continue to advance in terms of its diversity initiatives by the organizations that run companies. We also now are very focused on increasing the number of women in leadership, very specifically because that helps feed the pipeline of women for boards, both public and private.
Now, is this something that sounds good to say, oh, we want a more diverse board or more women on the board? Or is there kind of, can you point to ROI metrics that say, you know what, the companies that have women, there or minorities or more diverse boards perform better because they don't miss some things that more exclusive boards might be missing because they're just not the people. They're not as diverse, and they just miss opportunities that maybe somebody with a little bit of diversity would be able to identify very clearly that, if, you know, when everybody looks the same, it doesn't even occur to them that there's that an opportunity there.
Such a great point. And fortunately, the data now supports almost universally by big companies who publish data like Accenture, like PwC, like BlackRock. The data supports the fact that diverse boards produce a better result. There's hardly an argument about that anymore. And that's one of the wonderful things to have watched over these last 27 years is moving from a data-driven, you have to have a woman on your board, to having it just be a sheer numbers thing, to having it be about performance of the company and a better contribution by the company towards their ultimate goals. Further, here at the TAG Summit, our first speaker, our keynote speaker this morning, Duncan Wardle, spoke specifically to the fact that diversity brings diversity and creativity in terms of what a company sees and does, and it innovates companies. So I find it very interesting that now it's beyond just focusing on the numbers and really focusing about getting a better result. And Duncan Wardle this morning spoke to that.
One of my favorite stories about the power of diversity is, I don't know if you heard this story, but the Frito-Lay company has a Flaming Hot Cheeto. Have you ever heard of? It's like a super hot, like a Cheeto.
I have. I have not tried it.
Okay, either have I. But, so that was developed by a janitor in Frito-Lay who said, he was Mexican, and he's like, we like it hotter. And it didn't occur to anybody at Frito-Lay, even though they were based in Texas, that they should make it hotter. So there was the CEO put a call out, said, I don't care. I want ideas from everybody. So this janitor took some raw Cheetos before they had the flavorings, brought them home, and then added his spices to make it spicy. And so he created this on his own. Told the CEO, hey, you should do this. He goes, look, I'm going to be in El Paso in a few weeks. I want to meet with you. So they thought this was somebody that was like an executive that was wanted to meet with. And then all of a sudden, this janitor's boss is like, why are you calling the CEO? And then that's now a multi-billion dollar line of business. That person's now the head of, I think, diversity and inclusion at Frito-Lay. And it didn't occur. It was right in front of their face. But because they didn't have diversity in that, the people that create the product, they miss something that was literally a billion-dollar idea right in front of their eyes.
You know, there is no part of that story that is not appealing. There's absolutely no part that's not appealing. It's bringing an individual up in a corporation. It's listening to, by the executives, listening to all voices and recognizing that all voices have value. It's the fact that the corporation as a whole, other individuals and employees in the company could see that their ideas, their creativity, their thoughts matter to the company. That's the kind of advancement that you see when you have women on boards, or frankly, it's diverse boards. Fortunately, people do want that. They're looking for that. If they could come up with a different idea than was in their brain on their own, they do it. That's the importance of diversity, is driving that kind of creativity and new ideas into the dialogue with people who actually want that. They just don't know how to get to it.
So now with On Board, how do you interact with these organizations? Do you help them kind of identify the right candidates? Like, what's your role in this?
All right. We do a couple of things. We both, and I'll just speak to the two biggest areas. We spend a great deal of our programming, our content, and in fact, a training, we'll call it a class, but it's actually a 6-session, pretty intensive class about what people look for in boards, how to be a board member, how to prepare yourself for a board member, how to be the kind of person that can contribute to a company. So it's not about getting on a board. It's about being the kind of person that a board would be lucky to have because of your ability to contribute.
So that's from the candidate standpoint. You're helping kind of educate a candidate of the path maybe or some best practices to help them be identified as a candidate for a board.
You're exactly right. And then on the other side, with the companies themselves, you're not necessarily going to a particular company, a Coca-Cola, and saying, hey, I've got a great candidate for you to add to your board if you get to a point of inflection where you're changing a board member. It's not that. It's really about the socialization of the concept and the introducing of this network of highly talented individuals, women, to executives and companies that then have less of a large step in their mind to overcome in terms of adding a woman to a board, be it a public board or a private board. So the outreach itself, you know, it's an education cycle. We have a lot of data that supports how spectacularly Georgia has improved in adding women to boards over these last 27 years. And the great thing about that is you're the company that does not want to get left behind in a situation like that. When you see the data that supports that this is a, I'm not going to call it an avant-garde state in this regard, but we are not bringing up the rear in terms of truly having diverse boards, and companies want to be a part of that. They don't fight it.
Now, a lot of your work is in the technology world, right? How does technology fare when it comes to diversity in the boards and women specifically?
You know, that's a bit of a tale of two cities for me personally. I was raised in IBM, which was decades ahead of the technology industry in general, as were other large technology companies at the time, like an HP, in terms of truly valuing diversity and in particular valuing women. My first two bosses were women. I had no idea that there was a difference between
it was news.
Yes, it was honestly news when I left IBM and found out that the world, and that's the other part of this tale of two cities, that the rest of the world was not just like IBM. It was a great place to grow up, and it was a great foundation to have to drive diversity forward. Then you get to the technology industry as a whole. Large companies still maintain that focus on diversity and still drive it as, and I mean all diversity, as a core principle of the companies that they want to be. But as a smaller company, you often don't have the resources to be able to make that one of your whatever, your four priorities, your five priorities. You're trying to survive. You're trying to grow. You're trying to be entrepreneurial and drive a new set of customers. Diversity probably falls a little farther on your priority scheme. Fortunately, technology is still, as an industry, a leader in the appreciation for and the use of highly talented diversity candidates in their employee base that does span beyond women. You see it all the time. You see it in every kind of diversity in technology. I'll use Atlanta United as my prototypical example of this. Atlanta United has a gigantic base of technology supporters to it. The technology industry in general really is drawn to it. And if you have watched Atlanta United, you know that one of its principles is everyone is welcome. Mm-hmm. And I think the technology industry is drawn to Atlanta United as Atlanta United is drawn to the technology industry because of that focus on inclusiveness.
Now, if you could give some advice to a young woman out there to be kind of a board worthy, what would be some low-hanging fruit that they can take advantage of? And it might be, you can combine your role on TAG. It might be take some leadership positions at TAG and you know, volunteer for some of this stuff and put your hat in the ring there and role model the behavior you would like to be hired for, or be chosen for. But what can a young woman do to kind of structure her career or orchestrate her career so that she can grow and be, you know, involved at the highest levels?
All right. I'll answer that in two steps. First, in terms of the career, you actually have to make a difference in your career to end up as a board member on either a private or public company. So how do you make a difference? You focus on the end result, you get a result. You have a good attitude, and your attitude is one of, I am one of the people you can count on, I am one of the people who will stand on the sideline until success has been had, and then I'll get in the middle of the parade and be a part of it. You have to make a difference. And part of that difference is with your attitude, with your capability and your skills, and getting the end result. So on the career part, you have to make a difference. In terms of whatever your job is, make a difference to the organization that you're a part of. In terms of board service, visibility is just such a key piece. And if you've made a difference, if you are a person that people are proud to be associated with because of your ability to get results, the visibility compounds itself because people want to talk about you. People want to introduce you to other people. And they want you to be a part of their initiatives because they know you make a difference. It's hard to move just from I'm an excellent difference maker in a company to board service. You do have to, you know, volunteer and show your ability to contribute in the technology industry as a whole. But there are so many opportunities to do that in this city. So many. And then that begets visibility, and next thing you know, you're on a board.
So now, what do you need more of on board? How can we help you?
Oh, what a wonderful question. What I'd love is if you could help us with advocacy for the fact that women have got a lot more to offer than they probably even realize. They are, and, you know, it's all about honing your message and honing who you are and getting visibility, and onboard helps contribute to that. So advocacy for the mission itself, the mission of increasing the number of women in executive leadership positions and on corporate boards would be fabulous. As you talk to corporations, which I know so much of your program, you are talking to companies. I think it'd be fabulous if you asked them about their women's leadership initiatives within their corporation, which I'll tell you, most large corporations in Atlanta do have that. You know, we're so far ahead of where we were just, I'll say 5 years ago. But it never hurts for questions to be asked and people to realize that answers can be given around what they're doing to help advocate for women and improved and increased diversity.
And then not just give it lip service. I mean, in order for women to kind of get into these higher levels, it takes risking political capital and sponsoring and really putting your name on the line to really help them, not just check boxes in the organization to say we've hired this many are in these roles.
You're so right about that. And the funny thing about that is I think a lot of people feel that they are stepping out into risky area to sponsor a woman, in her career advancement for a volunteer opportunity with TAG or with WIT or whatever it might be. The funny part about that is it's just not much of a step out. If you've noticed this woman, if she's made a difference to you, 100 other people have already noticed them. I see it very often that people think they're taking a real risk advocating for a woman, and then the woman ends up being, you know, the teacher, the one who has risen to the top of whatever it was they did. And then those same people who felt they were taking a risk are the ones who like to be associated with them to claim credit for having done it.
Right. Like you said, the middle of the parade, they've joined in after the fact.
Yeah.
And then I spotted that, you know, I was working with her and I spotted that, you know, 5 years ago.
And, you know, it's great that people want to be a part of that. I love that. I'm just trying to point out it's actually not much of a risk to advocate for, to sponsor a smart woman, one who's accomplished a lot, one who needs to, you know, maybe for to ensure you have the right number of women in leadership or whatever the reasoning may be, fine. But it actually isn't much of a risk. There are a lot of very capable women and people of all diversity, all types of diversity that can contribute.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about Onboard, where should they go? Is there a website?
They should go to onboardnow.org.
Onboardnow.org. And then for the summit, the rest of the summit, are there things you're excited to see and learn about?
Absolutely. We just unveiled the top 10 most innovative technology companies of the last 10 years. We're about to unveil the top 10 most innovative technology companies for this year. Additionally, our Hall of Fame inductee, David Cummings, and those Hall of Fame sessions are always just so heartfelt, first of all, and so uplifting for us as an industry. And we have Tom Noonan on stage right now with a few people talking about innovation. So just a great program yet ahead of us.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for your work at TAG and your work with Onboard. It's such important work, and you're making such a difference and impact, not just in the state of Georgia, but in just kind of in the corporate boards as a whole, just to open their eyes and to encourage them to kind of do the right thing. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lee, and thanks for the time. I've enjoyed it.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We'll be back in a few at TAG Summit 2020.